This is Taking Aim with
Rav Shonman
and Maya Shon. We have a very special program for you today. This morning, we were able to speak with James Mark Leas. He is a member of the National Lawyers Guild delegation to Gaza, investigating Israeli war crimes in the recent assault in Gaza. We're going to have a brief interview with James Leas. And then we're going to play excerpts from our premium for this WBAA fund drive. We have prepared an incredible premium for you. For $60, it's a CD that contains 13 programs of Taking Aim, Barack Obama, False Hope, and Short Change. Yes, we have in the past months produced 13 programs on our current president when he was a proposed candidate for the Democratic Party nomination, when he was the candidate for the Democratic Party nomination, and when he was elected president. False Hope and Short Change. These are 13 programs that stem from the beginning of 2008 all the way through 2009. A year's worth of programs. 13 of them, and that is a premium. That is a CD that you won't want to miss. Barack Obama, False Hope, and Short Change, $60. Get on the phone right away, 212-209-2950. As I mentioned, we're going to have a direct report from Gaza, and then we're going to play an excerpt from the program, Barack Obama, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference, which deals with Obama's presentation before APEC, before the Zionist organization. Ralph?
Well, Maya, we're going to be discussing the level of duplicity and betrayal and the attempts to, in fact, capture dissent, capture disaffection, channel it into controlled arenas for the ruling class in terminal decay. Obama preserves rendition as counterterrorism tool is the headline in the Los Angeles Times. Secret list of U.S. military bases to replace Gitmo is the lead article in ABC News. Obama reluctant to look into Bush programs, tells the New York Times tell us. After campaign push, Obama cultivates military, the New York Times on January 31st. Obama seeks accord with the military on Iraq, January 29th, New York Times. Obama is buying Torture Light by Ray McGovern. And indeed, he'd say Obama's Afghan aims elevate war. Obama more deadly for Afghan civilians than Bush, says Mark Herold in Information Clearinghouse. It goes on and on. Generals set to reverse Obama's Iraq withdrawal decision with his collusion. Again, Gareth Porter, IPS. We will delineate the full measure of False Hope and Short Change, and why we began our programming about Barack Obama with the notion of not a dime's worth of difference.
Ralph, January 8th, 2008, Barack Obama, the Democratic Party, and the corporate state, False Hope and Short Change, two parts. And then we succeeded that with the program Entrapping Barack Obama, the Underlying Politics of the NAFTA Disclosure. And in June, Barack Obama, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference. And again, Barack Obama and the ethanol scam, serving the captains of capital. Our sixth program, Barack Obama at the service of corporate and finance capital. And then, Barack Obama embracing the totalitarian state. We returned again to Not a Dime's Worth of Difference. We did an election night call-in. We did an assessment of Barack Obama of soft soap and sellout, and we succeeded that with Obama's real mandate, preserving capitalism, Obama's war cabinet, the depths of duplicity, and on the day of the inauguration, President Obama preserving a decaying capitalism. 13 hard-hitting analytical programs, False Hope and Short Change. Please get on the phone. Become a member of WBAI if you aren't currently a member, and if you are a member, renew your membership and donate to the station that is yours. Barack Obama, False Hope, and Short Change, a jam-packed, powerful CD, 13 MP3 programs of Taking Aim with Ralph Shulman and Maya Shone. Call now, 212-209-2950. Now, let's go to this interview that we conducted this morning with James Leos. Michael, take it away.
We bring to you today an interview with James Mark Leos, part of the National Lawyers Guild delegation to Gaza, investigating U.S. participation in the Israeli genocidal attack against the people of Gaza. James Mark Leos is a lawyer in a patent law practice. He has been involved in the issue of the Palestinian struggle for self-determination since June of 1982. He is a member of the National Lawyers Guild Free Gaza Working Group and a member of the board of Refuser Solidarity Network. Welcome, James Leos, to Taking Aim.
It's a pleasure to be on the program.
Thank you so much for coming on the show with us. It's particularly important to note that the delegation is documenting the magnitude of war crimes, the specificity of what has taken place in Gaza.
We have been finding evidence for what we've been hearing are war crimes committed by Israel here in Gaza. Our investigation is focusing on three things. First of all, the use of illegal weapons or the use of legal weapons illegally against civilian targets, the blocking of aid to civilians and to the large population here in Gaza of 1.6 million people, for which we're finding evidence that it's not just Israel, but it's also Egypt that is involved in that blocking of humanitarian aid, with a great deal of participation by the United States. We're finding evidence that the weapons used against the population, the civilian population here in Gaza, have been supplied largely by the United States. We're also looking at evidence that this war was implemented as an aggressive war, a war of aggression. We're looking at how it started and why it started.
There is a series of reports in Yedioth Ahronot, Ynet News, that Israel continues to bomb and attack tunnels. And the Rafah tunnels were essentially deployed or used for bringing in fuel imports and for humanitarian aid. I mean, the rockets are largely homemade. So under the pretext of bombing tunnels, essentially Israel's continuing its air onslaught under the guise of a ceasefire.
Yeah, and in fact, we're certainly worried about those continuing attacks by Israel as we entered the Gaza Strip. And, you know, in the first moments that we arrived in Rafah, there was a bomb explosion, and we were told by government officials right at the border that, yes, they're still bombing the tunnel.
Livni and Olmert, the foreign minister and prime minister, declared that they would take fierce and disproportionate action in Gaza and have continued the air onslaught. And apparently the Ynet reports, Jimmy, that the Palestinian residents of Khan Yunis and Rafah have all been receiving phone calls warning them that if they reside next to militants or weapon cages or tunnels, that they will be bombed. And of course, how do you know where a militant is, quote-unquote, is supposed to be? So in essence, they're declaring themselves, the Israelis, ready, willing, and able to continue the onslaught under the guise of a ceasefire.
It's illegal to use weapons that affect large numbers of people who, the ordinary civilian population. This is an extremely densely populated area. The evidence we're getting says that somewhere between 300 and 400 of the 1,300 killed were children, and another 120 or so were women. And among the men, the circumstances, and we've interviewed some of the men in the hospitals, they're with their family, they're in their house, they're doing ordinary things in the living room of their house. They're not involved in any combat situation when the bombs fall on their house. There's no justification for attacking civilians. This is totally illegal, and it's a war crime, And if they're announcing it and making admissions that they are going to attack the civilian population based on the proximity, you know, then they're admitting to these war crimes.
I'd like to get to the specifics of some of the interviews. You were able to meet with the director of UNRWA.
UNRWA is the organization of the United Nations that's involved in relief for Palestinian refugees here in Gaza. And they have a large number of schools, and they have warehouses for distribution, for receiving and distributing humanitarian aid. We visited their compound at which they have their offices and some of these warehouses. And we actually saw with our own eyes the results of the Israeli attack, repeated shelling of that compound. It was at that compound that we saw residue of white phosphorus bombs there, which caused a huge fire, burning out many of these very large warehouse areas. And we could see the medicine bottles, you know, the charred, blackened results of the fires, including burned out where they had stored the medicine, where they'd stored food. The UN had been in constant touch with the Israelis, telling them that their shelling was very close. They needed them to stop. The Israelis knew the coordinates, the GPS coordinates of the facility, and continued to shell. They actually started the fire in the area where fuel was being stored. They have their own, like a gas station, their fuel storage.
The Israelis have dropped minimally 2 million pounds of bombs and missile attacks and armament on Gaza. And primary amongst this arsenal were chemical and biological weapons, the dense inert metal explosives,
yeah,
and the particularly fiendish chemical weaponry that destroys all internal organs. And one of the consequences of this bombardment as well is the destruction of the hospitals and the destruction of the medical supply. And not only, therefore, are they engaged in a virtually genocidal assault on the population, but right now, Egypt is installing cameras on the Gaza border. Egyptian security officials with U.S. collaboration are providing sensors and cameras to prevent any tunnel construction in the border area. And the primary purpose of the tunnels has been to get essential fuel supplies and medical supplies and food supplies into Gaza. So here we have them starved out and continually attacked. Are you able to speak specifically to the doctors, to the medical facilities, to the victims of all of this, and to frame what is an ongoing process of essentially starvation and subjugation of the population?
We were in Shifa Hospital this morning, and we interviewed both patients and doctors. We saw patients with severe burns. We heard from doctors about how terribly difficult it was to treat some of the injuries because they had not seen some of them before. It seems that Israel is using new kinds of weapons where the treatment is, you know, had to be learned. And so some of these victims really suffered from people not knowing what to do. For example, the white phosphorus continues to burn if it gets exposed to air again. So you think that you're cleaning the wound and you're treating the burn, but if any of it is left in there, it could catch on fire again. And also it has a toxic effect. It's both a thermal and a chemical, causes both kinds of injuries. The phosphoric acid that's produced in the wound itself causes severe damage. So they were finding that people who had relatively small burns, maybe 10% or so of their body, which usually even in a third world country people will survive, that those people were dying because the residual phosphoric acid and toxicity. And so, and this was also, they've also used these flechette. There were three instances that we were told about. It's a bomblet that explodes in the air before it hits the target and shoots out thousands of dart-like projectiles in a cone that can cover 100 yards in each direction. It's a tremendous anti-personnel weapon, and it's devastating kind of thing. And
yes,
there's also, as you mentioned, the tungsten weapon, this dime, and it's heavy metals. that are both toxic and do tremendous damage to the body. We also heard from one doctor about another kind of weapon that shoots out discs that are serrated, that amputate. You know, if it hits your legs, they seem to come out low to the ground and can cut off the legs of the person as they're flying through the air. And so he's seen these kinds of weapons, and they've actually collected the discs. So there's a variety of new weapons being used by Israel, testing them out here in the Gaza Strip. People all over the world are demanding justice. And I think it's urgent that people do that, because if Israel continues to have an exception, if they're continuing able to act with impunity to do things that are in grievous violation of the essential basic elements of international law, then I think we're going to see escalation of that. I think we're going to see a vast expansion of it.
Well, Jimmy, to put this all in a certain context, the population of the Gaza Strip, 7 miles deep and 23 miles long, 1.6 million people, have been subject to a total siege. They have been essentially blockaded by Israel with the collusion of Egypt and with U.S. implementation of weaponry. They've been blockaded and they've been starved out. They are under a siege, rather like that of the Warsaw Ghetto. And any time there is a response on the part of the population using homemade rockets, which is a response to specific assassination, because this siege has been punctuated by periodic assassination of political activists in an elected government. Putting this in its framework, George Mitchell, who's been sent by Barack Obama to the Middle East, has declared explicitly that he will have nothing to do with Hamas, will not meet with Hamas, will only discuss with the Palestinian Authority and the Israelis, and accepts the premise that Hamas has to be eliminated in Gaza. In other words, the elected government is to be eliminated in Gaza, and the population is to be starved out. Assassination is a legitimate Israeli design for anyone who's political. Active in Gaza. And then, you know, this animal is vicious. When you step on its neck, it tries to bite your foot. Any response from the population to being starved out and their leadership assassinated becomes the rationale for what Omert has just declared a disproportionate response, which was his declaration on the 2nd of February yesterday, as they struck 6 targets in central South Gaza with another airstrike.
What we're hearing here is that there is an intensification of the blockade, that there's actually fewer trucks being permitted to cross into Gaza than were permitted 2 months ago, before this war of aggression started. There's an intensification. So the grip is being tightened. In response to the war, there's been a huge outpouring of aid, and it's sitting on the other side of the border, both in Egypt and in Israel. For example, the French donated a water purification system that's sitting in Israel, and they had 51 technicians who were coming with this water purification system that was supposed to provide 2,000 cubic meters of pure water per day for people in Gaza. There was just an announcement that they're going to take it all home, bring home their technicians, because the Israelis have had them there for a week and are not letting it through. And then we also found out today that the Israelis, during the military aggression, took bulldozers and destroyed farmland here in Gaza. Up to 60% of agricultural land, agricultural equipment, and agricultural buildings were destroyed. So that now they have that yet is another way of increasing dependency on food aid, which they are restricting. This is looking increasingly like aggression against the civilian population, both in military terms and in humanitarian terms. It's not just the aid. The idea, it seems increasingly from the evidence that we're seeing, that Israel and its collaborators, including the United States, are committing very serious crimes against the civilian population.
Thanks so much, Jimmy, and best of luck in the continuing important work that you and the delegation are doing, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks very much.
You've been listening to an interview conducted this morning by Ralph Schoenman and myself, Maya Schoen, with James Mark Leas, an attorney who is a member of the National Lawyers Guild delegation to Gaza. They're currently in Gaza, and they'll be there all week. We hope to speak to Jimmy again. Jimmy is a member of the National Lawyers Guild Free Gaza Working Group and a member of the board of the Refuser Solidarity Network. He's been an activist since 1982 on the issue of Palestinian self-determination and on many of the important issues of the day. We hope you've enjoyed this, and please, this is just a small sample of the work we do on Taking Aim. Contribute today, 212-209-2950. WBAI is your opportunity, your avenue, your window to the world, and Taking Aim is a very special program. We know you appreciate the show. Now is the moment. Come to the phone. Call 212-209-2950. And our premium is something that you're not going to find anywhere. We have consolidated 13 hours of program into one CD. Yours for $60 contribution, donation to WBAI, a gift to yourself. Barack Obama, false hope and sure change. Be prepared for the years ahead. Develop an understanding of what is ahead. Ralph?
Well, Maya, again, I want to return here for a moment to the Los Angeles Times, February 1st. Obama preserves rendition as counterterrorism tool. Now, Obama made much fanfare out of the presumptive intention of closing down Guantanamo Bay. Underneath that pretense is another story. Quote, the role of CIA's controversial prisoner transfer program may expand. Reporting from Washington, Greg Miller, Los Angeles Times, the CIA secret prisons are being shuttered, and Guantanamo Bay will eventually go back to being a windswept Navy base. But President Obama's left intact the controversial counterterrorism tools. Under executive orders issued by Obama, the CIA has authority to carry out renditions, secret abductions, and transfer prisoners to countries that cooperate with the United States. Current and former U.S. intelligence officials state that the rendition program will be poised to play an expanded role going forward as the main mechanism, apart from predator missile strikes, for taking suspected terrorists off the streets. The Obama administration is determined that their rendition program is a component of the Bush administration's war on terrorism it cannot afford to discard. The decision underscores the fact their battle with al-Qaeda and terrorist groups is far from over. And if the United States is shutting down one prison, it is not done taking prisoners. Obviously, this is a quote, you need to preserve the tools. You have to go after the bad guys, said an Obama administration official speaking on condition of anonymity. The legal advisors are working on this. If rendition is controversial in some circles, it is one that will be maintained. So indeed, this article, which I urge our readers to look up, Los Angeles Times, February 1st, spells it out. Shutting down Guantanamo is a cosmetic mask for expanding the program of torture and rendition.
Ralph, I want to repeat the phone number. I don't hear the phones ringing. Now I do. 212-209-2950. Today, we had this important interview on the spot with James Mark Leas, Jimmy Leas in Gaza. And we're going to play an excerpt from our 13-hour premium, False Hope and Sure Change, a particular excerpt that shows Barack Obama's collaboration with the Zionist state and his intentions against the Palestinian people. Don't be fooled. Get on the phone, 212-209-2950. We're only going to play a short excerpt from this 13-hour jam-packed CD. $60 donation to WBAI, Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change. Only going to hear a little bit, but you can hear the entire thing. You can download it to your iPod. You can play it on your computer or MP3 player. You can distribute it to your friends and family. Very important. Educate everyone about who Barack Obama is and his collaboration with finance capital. He's at the service of corporate and finance capital. Don't be fooled. 212-209-2950. And you're going to see the connection between what you heard just before from our interview with Mark Lias in Gaza, the investigative team from the National Lawyers Guild, and the programming that we have done about President Obama. Ralph?
ABC News, January 16th, secret list of U.S. military bases to replace Gitmo. Camp Pendleton, Leavenworth, Miramar, included as new homes for 250 detainees. And that's just the beginning. The Brian Ross and Luis Martinez report in ABC News, the U.S. military has prepared a list of U.S. military bases to be used to house detainees, some currently held at the U.S. Naval Base in Guantanamo. The list includes Camp Pendleton in California, Fort Leavenworth in Kansas, the Marine Air Station in Miramar, California, and the U.S. Naval Consolidated Brig in South Carolina, and it has been circulated in a classified brief to members prepared by the Pentagon's Joint Staff. The list is based on cost, logistics, and security. President-elect Barack Obama is expected to order the Guantanamo Bay detainee facility closed, but it will prepare for new prison and transfer detainees. In fact, the program is to be vastly expanded.
And, Ralph, that was written when he was the president-elect, and now we have what you presented before about what he's actually doing and what is the meaning of his executive order now that he is president.
And it has another dimension, Maya. Here in the New York Times on January 12th, Obama reluctant to look into Bush programs. Barack Obama signaled in an interview broadcast Sunday that he is unlikely to authorize any inquiry into Bush administration programs like domestic eavesdropping or the treatment of terrorism suspects. Part of my job is to make sure, and this is a quote from Obama, at the CIA, you've got extraordinarily talented people working very hard to keep Americans safe. I don't want them to feel like they got to spend their time looking over their shoulders. He went on to explain why there would be no inquiry into waterboarding and other torture programs, that on the contrary, everything is going to be given a sanction retroactively, brothers and sisters. Duplicity, shortchange, and false hope. After campaign push, Obama cultivates military. Pentagon memo, New York Times, January 31st, 2009. The outreach began a year ago when Barack Obama, who had never served in the military, turned to officers for a fresh perspective on America's two wars. Pentagon officials said they have been relieved that Mr. Obama has been slowly proceeding on two campaign promises to pull out combat troops from Iraq within 16 months and to allow gay men and lesbians to serve openly in the military. And indeed, the article details how both of these so-called promises are going to be reneged upon. A survey by the Military Times found pessimism about Mr. Obama among 1,900 active duty respondents. And indeed, the respondents have exerted the kind of pressure which has led Obama to state explicitly that he will collude with, cooperate with, and expand the military's agenda for Iraq and indeed for Afghanistan. The group, which is spreading through the new administration, includes Chief of Staff of the National Security Council of the White House, Lippert, Flavin, Staff Assistant to the National Security Council, and a group of people who are engaged with the military as such. A big step in Mr. Obama's campaign to build trust of the military is not only his retention of Mr. Bush's Defense Secretary, Robert M. Gates, but his appointment of three select military commanders to top positions: General James L. Jones, Marine Commandant, Obama's National Security Advisor, this is still the New York Times, General Eric Shinseki, retired Army Chief of Staff, and Dennis Blair, retired Admiral as Director of National Intelligence. And the article details how these are the people who are setting the agenda. Obama seeks accord with military on Iraq, January 29th, details his retreat from any intent to pull out combat forces within 16 months.
And, Ralph, the story goes on, but most of all, 13 hours of programming. Barack Obama, false hope and sure change, 212-209-2950. I want to mention now a station identification. This is WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial and at www.wbai.org on the internet. We are going to return with some discussion, but first I want to play an excerpt from this 13 hours of programming from Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change. And this is from the June 17th program, Barack Obama, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference. Michael, take it away.
Washington, D.C., June 4th. 7,000 Zionists gather, representatives of the Israeli lobby, for the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, better known as AIPAC, and should be the American Israel Political Action Committee, because that is the function it serves. 300 senators and congressional representatives line up to pay obeisance at this meeting. 3 presidential hopefuls show up, 2 of them becoming their respective party candidates, Barack Obama and John McCain. Today on Taking Aim, we are going to discuss Barack Obama and his foreign policy statements. Ralph?
No, I wanted to say that we're going to examine the extent to which Barack Obama is a conscious and very sophisticated instrument of U.S. imperialism, and that is part of the story. In our second part, Maya, we want to address the Wall Street economic determination of the politics of the Democratic Party in general and of Barack Obama in particular.
Let's look at the prepared remarks of Barack Obama at the AIPAC meeting. He started off, "I want you to know today, I'll be speaking from my heart and as a true friend of Israel. And I know that when I visit with AIPAC, I am among friends, good friends, friends who share my strong commitment to make sure that the bond between the United States and Israel is unbreakable today, tomorrow, and forever." Among the people attending the 7,000 Zionists were 1,200 students, and Obama addressed them particularly. He said, "Nothing reflects the face of AIPAC more than the 1,200 students who have traveled here to make it clear to the world that the bond between Israel and the United States is rooted in more than our shared national interests. It's rooted in the shared values and shared stories of our people. And as president, I will work with you to ensure that this bond is strengthened." What did he mean, referring to these Zionists as grassroots activists, linking them to his work in Chicago? He also pointed to his own life story. Particularly, he said, "I learned about the horror of the Holocaust and the terrible urgency it brought to the journey home to Israel," a journey that he linked to his own life story. Reflecting upon his great uncle, who had been part of the 89th Infantry Division, the first Americans to reach a Nazi concentration camp, you hear Obama linking his life to all the myths, the Zionist myths, and most importantly, he aligns himself with the Imperium instead of with the struggle of the Palestinian people, the struggle of the oppressed. He will represent imperial interests worldwide. Ralph?
Well, Maya, I think in particular with respect to his remarks at AIPAC and regarding Israel, what Barack Obama is doing here is celebrating the fiction, the mythology, the ideological rationale for imperialism globally and in specific regard to its new agenda of permanent war in the Arab East and the dismantling of each state in that region. This is, in fact, the entire function of the Zionist state from its inception. This is why the Israeli apparatus has been financed, armed, and created and sustained by imperialism. That is why it is so central to the intelligence operations of the United States, to the death squad operations from Africa to Latin America. That is why the Zionist apparatus commands such overwhelming support within the Imperium in the United States. Not because the Zionist apparatus in itself controls the $10 trillion state, as some would have it, which is a left cover for a form of suggesting that there's a good bourgeoisie that would do good things, nationally interested things, except that the Jews don't let them. This is a form of fiction that is sustained by a Stalinoid and liberal illusion, of which Barack Obama is not an important component. But when we examine what Barack Obama did at the AIPAC gathering, What unfolds here is a clear delineation of what the Democratic Party, and indeed a wing of imperialism associated for the most part with Eastern capital, projects as the task forward.
Ralph, we must start with his comments about Israel, because that really shows his framework, his alignment with the Zionist myth. He says explicitly, quote, "We know that the establishment of Israel was just and necessary, rooted in centuries of struggle and decades of patient work. But 60 years later, we know that we cannot relent, we cannot yield, and as president, I will never compromise when it comes to Israel's security." Ralph?
Well, Maya, part of what he has done at this APEC gathering is to reiterate themes that Barack Obama and his array of ruling class advisors, from Anthony Lake to the Brzezinski brothers, to this whole security apparatus which has been associated with both the Republican and Democratic parties. What he has done here is to reiterate, as he says in his own words, this is a commitment that both John McCain and I share, because support for Israel in this country goes beyond party. Part of our commitment in speaking up is to sustain Israel's security when it is at risk. And I don't think any of us will be satisfied that America's recent foreign policy has made Israel more secure. Hamas controls Gaza. Hezbollah has tightened its grip on southern Lebanon and is flexing its muscles in Beirut. And because of the conduct of the war in Iraq, Iran, which always posed the greater threat to Israel, is emboldened and poses the greatest strategic challenge to the United States and Israel in the Middle East in a generation. Iraq is unstable. Al-Qaeda has stepped up its recruitment. Israel's quest for peace with its neighbors has stalled, despite the heavy burdens borne by the Israeli people. And America is isolated in the region, more isolated, reducing our strength and jeopardizing Israel's safety. That is the scenario and the rationale for shifting the focus on a multiple occupation, multiple 100,000 occupation of Iraq, which, as with Vietnam, is seen as unsustainable. The resistance is handing imperialism a strategic defeat, and so they are sounding the alarm and the necessity to sustain imperialism by expanding it beyond Iraq and by cutting back in Iraq to permit that. The question, Obama states, is how we move forward. He said, those who would lay all of the problems of the Middle East at the doorstep of Israel, as if the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is at the root of trouble in the region, are wrong. They blame the Middle East's only democracy for a region's extremism, and they offer a false promise that abandoning a stalwart ally is somehow the path to strength. It never has, it never was, and it never will be. Our alliance is based on shared interests. Those who threaten Israel threaten the United States. Israel has always faced these threats on the front lines, and I will bring to the White House an unshakable commitment to Israel's security, and that starts with ensuring Israel's qualitative military advantage. I will ensure that Israel can defend itself from any threat, from Gaza to Tehran. Defense cooperation between the United States and Israel is a model of success, but it must be deepened. As president, I will implement a memorandum of understanding that provides $30 billion to Israel, investments to Israel's security that will not be tied to any other nation. We must immediately approve the foreign aid request for 2009, and going forward, we will enhance our cooperation with Israel on missiles. We will export military equipment to our ally Israel. I will stand up for Israel's right to defend itself in the United Nations and around the world. And he continues, we must isolate Hamas until they renounce terrorism, recognize Israel's right to exist, abide by all past agreements. There is no room at a negotiating table for terrorist organizations. And that is why I opposed holding elections in 2006 if Hamas were on the ballot. The Israelis and the Palestinian Authority warned us against holding these elections, but the Bush administration pressed ahead. And the result is a Gaza controlled by Hamas, with rockets raining down on Israel. The Palestinian people must understand that progress will not come through false prophets of extremism or the corrupt use of foreign aid. The United States must stand by Palestinians who are committed to cracking down on terror. I urge Arab governments to take steps to normalize relations with Israel and to fulfill their responsibility against extremists and to provide support for President Abbas and Prime Minister Fayyad. Egypt has to cut off smuggling of weapons into Gaza. And he lays out an agenda of escalated military operations in the region, a total license for further operations by the Zionist apparatus with the full support of the American Imperium.
Ralph, he accepts every false notion about the Zionist state. One, that it came out of centuries of struggle and it is a deserved homeland for Jews. Also, that it is the Middle East's only democracy. That's how he refers to the Zionist state. Middle East's only democracy, a country that is recognized even by the representative of imperialism, the United Nations, as an apartheid state. This is significant because he recognizes Israel as a theocratic state, a state for the Jews. Over and over, he refers to a Jewish state of Israel. Most importantly, he talks about the undivided Jerusalem as a capital of the Jewish state. Ralph?
Maya, the articulation of the ideological rationale for Zionism is the linchpin of imperial policy now for very much since Franklin Roosevelt, since approximately 1940, when the American imperialism determined to displace British and French imperialism in the region, and Franklin Roosevelt informed Churchill that he would be taking on the responsibility, as he called it, for King Saud and for Saudi Arabia. The U.S. was displacing British and French imperialism. The Zionist state was its shock troop. So the issue here for Barack Obama's articulation of policy is he's not merely addressing AIPAC. He's not merely addressing the Zionist apparatus. He is, as he has been since his political career began, articulating for the ruling class its agenda and his capacity to give it a fresh face and a credibility which will buy it a little time. But when we examine what that entails, we see that, as with each democratic regime, it may oppose, for example, with regard to the Kennedy brothers in Indochina, massive 500,000 occupying troops that are losing a war. But its replacement for that is killer squads and Green Berets and Rangers and Phoenix programs and the strategic hamlets and the hunting down of death squad operations of those who defend the national interests, the economic interests, the social interests of the oppressed, who will be labeled as terrorists or communists or subversives or whatever, and targeted for extermination, nothing short of that. That is the agenda that the Democratic Party has persisted in adopting more efficiently and more explicitly, and counterposed to the bogging down with deficit finance, massive troop occupations. They want counter-revolution on the cheap in an age of declining profits and a crisis of capital.
You have been listening to an excerpt from Barack Obama, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference, which is one of 13 powerful programs in our CD premium, Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change. Please get on the line now in the closing minutes of this Taking Aim broadcast, 212-209-2950. We're off the air at 6 o'clock. We won't be on until next week. This is your last moment for today. Get on the phone right away. I hear the phones ringing. Let's line them all up. Have the volunteers in the pledge room busy. 212-209-2950. If you're listening to us in Washington, D.C., and Maryland, if you're listening to us from Vermont, if you're listening to us from Seattle, Washington, if you're listening to us from the San Francisco Bay Area, if you're listening in New Zealand and Australia and Great Britain and in China and in throughout the Middle East, and we're all over the world, as many people do, now is the time for your long-distance call. If you're in the tri-state area of New York, it's easy. Pick up the phone, 212-209-2950. There's only one place you can get this important CD, this powerful, dynamic program and information and analysis, and that's here at WBAI. You won't find it anywhere else. Barack Obama, False Hope and Short Change. I prepared this premium only for WBAI. It is not available anywhere else. Barack Obama, False Hope and Short Change, 13 hours. Think of the technology, the ability to have 13 hours on this one CD. And that's what we've done in the MP3 format, 13 hours of programming. Barack Obama, the Democratic Party, and the corporate state, two sections. And then entrapping Barack Obama and his astute analysis we had, the underlying politics of the NAFTA disclosure. Barack Obama, not a dime's worth of difference. Barack Obama and the ethanol scam. Talk about involvement with corporations. Barack Obama's relationship with Archer Daniels Midland and all the ethanol producers serving the captains of capital. Barack Obama at the service of corporate and finance capital was the explicit name of one of the programs. And then, as Ralph has been mentioning before, in terms of imperialism, Barack Obama embracing the totalitarian state. Think about it. Not only when you had imperialism, you need control of the population at home. Barack Obama embracing the totalitarian state. And our election night call-in shows, in response to your comments, an assessment of Barack Obama, soft soap and sellout. Barack Obama's real mandate, preserving capitalism, and as Ralph was talking about, his war cabinet, the depths of duplicity, and finally, on his inauguration night, Barack Obama preserving a decaying capitalism. 13 hours. Barack Obama, False Hope, and Short Change. 212-209-2950. Ralph, take it away.
The words that we were using in those 13 hours of broadcasting, brothers and sisters, which set out and delineated the agenda of Barack Obama, the underlying politics of his candidacy, the service that he provides for imperialism in giving it a face that would allow for temporary acceptance, a certain populist rhetoric to channel frustration and dissent into safe arenas, has been vindicated almost prophetically by the subsequent articles that appear almost daily in the established press. We talked about the agenda of Barack Obama for expanding imperial reach and for expanding war, not retreating from it. Here's the headline on January 28th in the New York Times. Aides say Obama's Afghan aims elevate war. President Obama intends to take a tougher line towards Hamid Karzai as part of the new American approach to Afghanistan that will put more emphasis on waging war than on development, senior administration officials said Tuesday. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who served under Mr. Bush and is staying under Mr. Obama, told Congress, time, patience, or money, we are going to continue this war. It is our greatest military challenge. And the rest of the article, brothers and sisters, delineates how they intend a major expansion, which means more troops, not merely out of Iraq into Afghanistan, but the so-called service of the population, the service to their nation, translates into real service for the Imperium in such places as Afghanistan. Yesterday's article by Mark W. Herold, Obama more deadly for Afghan civilians than Bush. Change Afghans should look upon with skepticism. And the article details the escalation of attacks upon the civilian population across Afghanistan, notably in southern Afghanistan, where there's an indiscriminate targeting of all civilians who move. Anything that moves, it's the same policy as in Vietnam. And here, Gareth Porter's article on February 2nd, generals seek to reverse Obama's Iraq withdrawal decision. CENTCOM Commander General David Petraeus, supported by Defense Secretary Robert Gates, is convincing President Barack Obama to back down from his campaign pledge to withdraw all U.S. combat troops from Iraq within 18 months at an Oval Office meeting January 21st. They waited exactly 24 hours, brothers and sisters, after the inauguration to begin this whole process of reversing the rhetoric about containing the war in Iraq. And indeed, this translates as well into the politics concerning the bailouts, because the next bailout, brothers and sisters, the next bailout is not going to be $700 billion, but as the New York Times report, more like $4 trillion, unquestioned, unchanneled, handing out to the captains of capital the very, very, very lifeblood of the population of this society, because the counterpart to this is a relentless cutting of social services, a rollback of Social Security, and indeed of health care within the United States. The rhetoric is the most deceitful enterprise in the long annals of deception on the part of American politicians of the ruling class.
And how best to do it? A man who's handsome, a man who's articulate, with a beautiful family, an African-American president. False hope and sure change. Do not be deceived. He is not a man of the people. He is a man at the service of corporate and finance capital. That's how he got into office. He was groomed. That's how he presents himself, and that's how he is operating. 13 important hours of programming on one CD, yours for contribution to WBAI, $60, 212-209-2950. Your contribution includes your membership renewal, or if you're a first-time member, your membership in WBAI. It is an incredible gift for you. And if you already have pledged today for Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change, think about calling your friends, your family, your colleagues, reminding them to listen, to tune in, and to tune in next week, and to pledge, too, for Barack Obama, False Hope, and Sure Change. Again, the phone number, 212-209-2950. This is not available anywhere else. It's not available on the Internet. It is not available in one CD, one jam-packed CD, except through WBAI. It's already prepared. It will be going out soon. Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change. 13 hours of programming. Please call now, 212-209-2950. If the lines are full and you're getting a busy signal, hold on, press the redial button on your phone, or redial again yourself, 212-209-2950. We started the show today with an interview with Mark Leas, a member of the National Lawyers Guild delegation to Gaza, investigating the war crimes, the Zionist war crimes, and the collaboration of the United States with the Zionists in attacking the Palestinians. And Ralph came across an important article by Robert Bryce that appeared in Salon January 16, 2009, Gaza invasion powered by the U.S. And what Bryce points out, too, that he acquired information through the Freedom of Information Act. And this is information that we have disclosed ourselves on Taking Aim several years ago. And that U.S. taxpayers have paid to supply over 500 million gallons of refined oil products worth $1.1 billion to the Israeli military. That is that the United States pays for the oil that is powering these F-16 planes that are dropping the bombs and destroying Gaza, and also pays to ship this fuel to Israel from U.S. refineries. What's interesting is that 40% of the fuel comes from the Middle East itself, is coming from Saudi Arabia and other of the Arab states to companies like Valero, where it is refined and then it is transshipped back to Israel to fuel the Israeli military. That's what these that's what this fuel is used for. It's used by the Israeli military for their airplanes for the to attack the Palestinian people. Ralph?
Well, my one of the big supporters of Barack Obama in the New York Times was Paul Krugman, the Nobel Prize-winning economist at Princeton. February 2nd, Bailouts for Bunglers by Paul Krugman. What happens if you lose vast amounts of other people's money? You get a big gift from the federal government. Am I being unfair? I hope so, but right now that's what's happening. When I read recent remarks on financial policy by top Obama administration officials, I feel as if I've entered a time warp. Alan Greenspan is still the maestro, and the backers are still the heroes of capitalism. Quote, we have a financial system run by private shareholders, managed by private institutions, and we want to do our best to preserve that system. So Timothy Geithner, the Treasury Secretary of Barack Obama, as he prepares to put the public and taxpayers on the hook for that system's immense losses, brothers and sisters, they cannot conceal it. The truth is catching up. It's 13 hours of prophetic. They say it as it is. You need the ammunition. You need to be armed because it's going to get a lot worse.
212-209-2950, Barack Obama, False Hope and Shortchange. This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. We'll return again next week at 5 o'clock. Please visit our website, www.takingaimradio.com, and contact us at takingaim@pacdell.net. That's PACDELL.net. We'll be with you next week.
And by the way, this is radio station WBAI. We're at 99.5 FM on your dial. We're available online on the internet at